Eric Shear with you, an unbelievable shot. Parks of Asia. The Sefer Bat Ayin. You familiar with the Sefer Bat Ayin? Let me give you a little bit of a biography. The Sefer Bat Ayin was written by Rabbi Avraham Dov Avrich. 1760 to 1840. He was known as the Bas Ayin after the Sefer he wrote. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Yitzchak Levi Mibar Gitcha, who moved to Sfat in the later years of his life. Moshe Montefiore, you know who Moshe Montefiore was? He wrote about him that he's one of the most knowledgeable people he knows, who doesn't take money from the Kiva, and all that he has gives is stalker. So the Bat Ayin asks, what is the connection between Parshas Vayeshev and Hanukkah? As Parshas Vayeshev always falls out on the Shabbos before Hanukkah. Sometimes it is even Hanukkah, but most of the time it's Shabbos before. It's an amazing shot. The Bat Ayin writes that hidden in the story of Tamar and Yehuda is a discussion between Hashem and the Jewish people alluding to Hanukkah. So we can put this on the list, another hint to Hanukkah. Remember I had two hints? We're going to have a third now. What was the two you guys remember? 25th word of the Torah, Zohar. 25th destination, Chal Yisrael, is Hashmoina. Matches 25th of Kislev, right? Listen to this. The Bat Ayin writes that hidden in the story of Yehuda and Tamar is a discussion between Hashem and the Jewish people during the Hanukkah. After Yehuda impregnated Tamar, the Torah teaches a Perek Lamed Ches. Vayikim Shlosh Chadashim. Vayugad the Yehuda. Vayimor Zonsa Tamar Kalasecha. Vagam Hine Harav Yisrinim. Yomer Yehuda Otsiyah v'tisara p'nutzeis v'yishachas v'alchamiyah leimor v'lichashir eila lo adolf yaharav v'anok v'tomer hakir na l'miyach osemes v'apsidu v'amat ha'eile v'yak Yehuda v'yomer sot v'yimeni v'akeinu l'tzatim l'shel v'ni. The Bat Ayin's ma'azmah these psukim can be understood at a deeper symbolic level as well. Listen to this. Litfox, open, please open your heart. Litfox, please open your heart. Yehuda is referring to Hashem. As the name Yehuda has all the letters of Shem Abayah. Gemara has that in Gittin, number 7, Nachov. And Tamar refers to the Jewish people, as it says in Shir Shirim. What parak? Parak Zion, Pasukas, Damta, Damsul, Tamar. He's Mazmer, that Yom Kippur, bless you. All of Am Yisrael make commitments for a better year. Right? Is that true? At least we hope so, right? What?
I mean, yeah, there's no way for us to know.
We all try to make commitments. Right. We ask Hashem for forgiveness and promise that we will not sin again. But by the time of Hanukkah rolls around, it seems that all of the commitments that were made are not being fulfilled. This is hinted in the psukim as follows. Listen to this, guys. Ayikim Shlosh Chadashim. About 3 months have passed since Yom Kippur. Most of Tishrei, all of Cheshvan, and most of Kislev. By Yugad Luyuda Lemor, the Sultan is Mekatre to Hashem, which is referring in Yehuda, saying, Zonsuk is the same letters. Obviously, Yehuda is not Hashem, but it's the same letters. It contains the letters, not exactly the same letters. Zonsuk, Tamar, Kalasach, the Jewish people, Tamar, have betrayed you. It's only Hanukkah. Look how much they've sinned. What happened to all the Kabbalahs they took upon themselves? The Gamhine Haral is Nunim. Not only have they sinned, but they have become accustomed to sinning in a way that the sin is part of them, as a fetus is connected to its mother. Vayomer Yehuda Otsiyah V'tisara. Hashem says, you're right, the Jewish people should chas v'sholom be punished. Amazing, no? Listen to this. Tamar, the Jewish people respond, yes? Le'isha shira eila lo anoki hara. Hashem, look deep into our hearts. Our loyalty stands with the person who commanded us about the following items. This is the hint. Wow. To whom the following items belong to, I am loyal. This represents the untarnished jar of oil that was found with the signature of the Kohen Gadol on it. The hapsilim represent the wick of the Hanukkah candle. Amate represents the oil, the cane, the vessel that holds oil. Remember we did that? Remember we mentioned that with the oil? Did I tell that over to you? How did Avram Avinu, how did Yaakov have oil to learn with at night? Because he put it in the cane, the hollowness of the matah. I was always bothered by, not always, but why is Alifaz, he takes everything from him, and we're unikimes, because he's told to kill him. So he says to Yaakov, how am I going to do this? He says, take all my property, and then I'll be like an unikimes. Why didn't he give him his matah? That he wouldn't give it to him. because the mat had oil in it, and you can't learn at night. Yaakov says if he has to give up his learning at night, forget about it. Rather he died. You follow that? That's why Ali, he wouldn't refuse to give Alif his Damata that had the oil in it. The Mata represents the vessel that holds oil. Hashem, look deep into our hearts. We only sin because our temptations got the best of us, but we are loyal only to you. Look at the 1,000 Jews around the world who are so far away, but still light the Hanukkah candles. All those Jews deep inside are yearning for connection with you. That's what I said in Los Angeles, the Onig Shabbos. You know, I think this, the two most mitzvahs that non-observant Jews fulfill is the Seder and Hanukkah candles. But most of the non-observant Jews don't believe that they're not in the Torah Shabbat path. Why are you lighting the Hanukkah? You see, you have a fitful yid. You really believe in it deep down. Because Hanukkah is the Chag of Torah Shabbat path. Vayakir Yehuda of Yom HaTzav Kimimen, Hashem looks into our hearts and agrees. Hakeinu Nesatiyat L'Shem L'Gmi. Hashem agrees, and Kavioch also blames himself, saying that the reason the Jewish people are sinning is because I have not rebuilt the Bismikdash. Referring to as Shiloh, Siva Yehi, Perikman Tespos Yehuda means Ad Kiyavo Shiloh, referring to the Bismikdash in the days of Mashiach. So these psukim, these series of psukim hint to what Hanukkah and the story. There's a lot. There's a lot in Hasidic form that the din lasts all the way to Hanukkah. Usually, Litvish and the din last till when? Hoshana Rabbah. But the din of the year in a lot of Hasidic form goes all the way to Hanukkah. You follow me? So this picks up with that theme and that theory. Okay. Yes, Bench. Yeah, the wick. The wick was the second one. The first one is the Chosemes. That represents the seal. The untarnished jar of oil was found with the signature of the Kohen Gadol. Seelim represents the wick of the Hanukkah candles. The mat is the oil. So Hashem says, look deep into our hearts. Hashem, we say to Hashem, look deep into our hearts. We only sin because our temptations got the best. We're loyal only to you. Look at the 1,000 people around the world who are so far away that still like the Hanukkah candles. All those Jews keep deep down inside are yearning for a connection. We're saying even more to the person of our path. So someone asks you to give me three hints to Hanukkah in the Tarshish of Aksav. What would you say? 25th, the word or. 25th, that's a Hashmoyin. And also with this Parsha, the Chosemes, the what is it? The Mate, the Chosemes, and the Tzilin. Okay, let's continue now. You want to give the Dvartara of Ayeshev connecting with Hanukkah, there you have it. Okay? There you have it. Let's continue now upon this parsha. The Tais HaSholem, see there's a collection of Balei HaTaisis on Chumash. Most famous is the Mikros Gedolos Das Kenim Balei HaTaisis. You're familiar with that, yes? Then there's a Moshe Kenim, with different collections of Sfarim of Balei HaTaisis on Chumash. Fascinating Sfarim. Let me show you. The Tais HaSholem points out that every verse in Parsha Yeshua begins with the letter Vav, except for 8. Did you guys know that? Every pasuk in Vayeshev, in Yom Bedovik, every pasuk in Pasuk begins with the letter Vav, except 8. Which book of Tanakh shares the unusual characteristic that each verse in the entire book begins with Vav, except for 8? And what is the connection between that book and Parsha Vayeshev? Does anybody know? Arya, does anyone who's focused? Don't bring your back focus to the tire. Okay? What is the only other safer? Rus. It's amazing. Every pasuk in verse, except for 8, begins with the letter Vav, which signifies Vai. What is the letter? What is Vav? Vai. Parzvayesha, the cries, it's cries, like, or like Oy Vey. Vey, it's like Vey. They's above Yud. Parsha Vayeshev is full of tragic events. Let's think about it, guys. Okay, I'm behind the Shmaimikra, but I gotta get going on it. But let's think about it. You ready? Well, number one, the sale of Yosef. Number two, the deaths of Erev Onan. Number three, the imprisonment of Yosef. Similarly, Megillas Rus discusses a generation whose leaders were corrupt. It begins with the death of who? Elimelech, Machlon, and Kilion, and discusses the bitter plight of Rus. The 8 psukim that don't begin with the letter Vav correspond to the positive events discussed in each. Rav Matthias Blum, the great Gaon, Tzatzal, who died during COVID. This sefer, Rav Matthias Blum, Torah Ladas, Volume 9, points out several additional parallels. Both Parshas Yeshua and Megillah discuss great leaders, Yehuda and Elimelech. We each had two sons, Ir and Onan, Machlon and Chilion, who died due to their sins. In each case, unusual efforts were made to perpetuate the names of the deceased through an atypical form of Yibum. Why is it atypical? Because what is classical Yibum? The brother of the who? Of the deceased. In the case of Boaz, it was a cousin. Daniel Fogelman. In the case of Boaz, it was a Yibum. Daniel Fogelman. Moshe or Daniel? Moshe, you're welcome to stay for the Chumash.
Moshe. I have a chinuch today, but I won't.
Yeah, anyway. Okay. You take the machine afterwards. Okay, you ready? So it comes out. You guys know him? You guys know him? Okay. Yeah. And then Yeshiva. He asked me questions in the afternoon, Moshe. He asked me questions a lot of times in the afternoon. So because he didn't stay, maybe we shouldn't answer the questions anymore, no? Chas v'shalom, just joke. Okay. So listen to this. That's the way I know him. A very good fellow. Okay, listen to this. In each case, unusual efforts are made to perpetuate the names of the deceased through a typical form of evil. Because Boaz was a cousin, and also Yehuda and Tamar, he was the what? He was her father-in-law, not the brother-in-law. With Tamar disguising herself as a Zona in order to have relations with her father-in-law, Yehuda, and Ruth sneaking in the middle of the night into the threshing floor where Boaz was sleeping. Each case resulted in what? What do you say, guys? Each case resulted in what? Amazing. The continuation of who? Of the ancestry of David HaMelech and the Mashiach, and brought them one step closer. Finally, the eight sukkim that don't begin the letter above allude to the eight generations from Yehuda to Boaz. Isn't that amazing? There's a kesher within Yehuda called eight sukkim, and the eight sukkim without the letter above are happy sukkim. But through such difficulty, good things can happen. This is a tragic story, it seems, you know, and the Mashiach comes from that. That's a big mitzvah. Sometimes when we think that things are horrible, you never can give up and have to ruin your fucking Hashem. Always got to have it. Look how bad the situation was. And good came out of it. Because he kept the Ramon and Yitzchak. Yes, Benji, go ahead.
The fourth bucket, because it's only eight representing
the candles. The candles, 8 days of Hanukkah. Yeah, I like that. Very good. Excellent. Good beat. Excellent. I remember thinking about the number eight. I remember once I was in the elevator once with the shepherd once. I guess he had just raided his machine. One guy got an eight. So I said to him, the Maharal has in a lot of his writings, the number eight is Lamala Minateva. I said, eight, Lamala Minateva. He liked it. It's Lamala Minateva. You know, because this world is seven days in the week. 6 days, 7 days, you make 6 days. Okay. All right. Well, I'm in school. Okay. What'd you say? Okay. Are you ready? Okay. Let's continue now. So we have two kibushim so far. Yes. That's two. Okay. Now we go to number three. After Yosef saw that relating his first dream in which their sheaves bowed down to his. His brothers increased their hatred towards him. Why did he proceed to tell them the second dream, in which they again bowed down to him instead of keeping it to himself? In other words, you know what I mean? He was a smart man, Yosef, you know what I mean? Why would he say it a second time, though, and just anger them again?
Did he say they got angry after the first one?
Yeah. Maybe you didn't notice they got angry, you're saying? I imagine that he knew that they would. My thought is that you're not allowed to suppress a Nebuah. You suppress the Nebuah, your Chai Mitzvah, where it says it's an ethic. The definition of a Nebuah is to say over. The Kovish is the Wasser's Chai Mitzvah. You always put to say over. So let's see what the third says. So the Moshe of Skene, which another sage of the Baalei Pesach Kovish, maintains, I'm sorry, that Yosef's dreams were a form of prophecy. Huh? And the Mishnah rules that a person who represses his prophecy and refuses to share it with others is Chai Mitzvah at the hands of heaven. Joseph reasoned that it was better to share his prophecies with his brothers and risky and certain repercussions of their jealousy and hatred than to quash his properties and render himself liable to guaranteed heavenly punishment. So we're Makabi to the answer. The Rechaim HaKadosh answers that Yosef hoped that relating his dreams to his brothers would show them that they would eventually need his assistance that caused them to stop hating him so that he wouldn't take revenge on them at that time. It would also show them that his superiority over them was decreed from heaven, in which case they shouldn't resent Yaakov's preferential treatment to him. Alternatively, the Gemara and Brachos from Hayyim Beis teaches that the meaning of a dream is determined by the interpretation given by those who hear it. The Gemara advises a person to relate his dreams to his friends and they will receive positive as they were. So Yosef told his dreams to his brothers as a way of demonstrating he loved them and trusted them. So what are the three chakras? Number one, Kodesh Kavatsal, like you said, the bunch of scared. Second shot is Rav Hanukkah says is that he thought that this would emphasize that, you know, they eventually would need his assistance and cause them to stop hating him and that he wouldn't take revenge on them. So that's why he said it over. And also, they should be upset at Yaakov that he showed him like favoritism because it was decreed in the Shemayim that he would be superior. Now there was a guy in the shoulder in L.A. last week. He was very not upset, but you know, the Kiddush. Here I'm hungry, I'm trying to eat the Kiddush. And I gave the drugs to Yaakov the best of the others. He says, well, how can you be the best of the others? You favorite Yosef. I said, no one's perfect. The Marshall's a child is not. You don't know. He was wrong. You never supposed to favor the kids. But this is a little bit of an appearance that maybe it was decreed in heaven that he would have superiority, and that's why he failed. And the Gemara still says he was wrong for doing it. So that's a second shot. He thought it would emphasize that they should want, they should realize, and not hate him for this. The third shot is that a dream always depends upon who interprets it. So he was hoping that when he told the dream to come his way, eventually he loved him and trusted him. So he was, you know, that's why he said, no, we're not trying to hack us in it. What are you trying to talk, isn't it? Okay. Now, that's the third shot we have so far. Let's continue on. Now, I remember Rosenzweig, she once mentioned this in Shir. Do you think Yosef HaTzadik ever forgave the brothers? No. We never find in the Pesukim that he ever forgave the Mechila of Leh Shalom. In fact, the Medrash teaches in Medrash Mishlei that the Asara HaRugei Malchus, the 10 great Avadim of the Talmudic period, you know, we say in Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, the 10 great Avadim of the Talmudic period who were brutally and tragically martyred died to atone for the sin of the sale of Yosef. As Reuben and Binyamin were present when he was sold, there was only 9 brothers who actually participated in the sale. So why were the 10 rabbis killed instead of 9? Should have only been 9, right? 12 minus 3 is 9. He was sold, Reuben wasn't there, Binyamin wasn't there. So how does that correspond to Hasar Rimakas? And it happened to Hasar Rimakas because why? He didn't want him local. So Ben Machai suggests, listen to this, that the 10th Kochim who was punished corresponded to Yosef because he behaved in an arrogant manner towards his brothers and incited their jealousy and anger. He was partially responsible for causing them to sell them. Alternatively, the 10th was due to Reuben, but not because of the sale of Yosef, in which he took no part. It was due to his sin involving Bilhah.
That's a big Kiddush, no?
It has really nothing to do with Yosef, right? It's interesting. I spoke about that in L.A. in the Kiddushah. The Reuben was the first Baal Tshuva. Why was the first Baal Tshuva? Where it says anyone who sins Reuben's sin is Koa. Where's the Gemara? Shabbos bin Ham and Olive. What do you mean? There are many guys before him that did tshuva. Adam, Cain, right? Noah. What's it, Terrence? He was the first guy that did tshuva for something on the books was not in the day. This was not right that he should get involved in his father's and then Xenius. Follow me? But Rav Bernstein Shlita has a different shot. He was the first guy, even though macro-wise, you know, on the books, you might have more mitzvahs than avers. That doesn't mean you still have to do tshuva for your chatan. He was the first guy that did that. And he still has to show the tshuva, even though macro-wise he had definitely more mitzvahs than chatan, but still wanted to do tshuva for that. So either the 10th kochim was Yosef himself, or it was what Reuben due to the Avera Villa, which is a big finish to me, because you know why? To have one of the great chatan die because of that, when the Gemara says Anuel Atola, unless you say that, it just looked bad. It's like the Rav said, the Gemara says, put on a double cut to Eidol Atola. Anyone who says David's sin is mistaken, right? But the Gemara says, anyone who says David's sin is a mistake, don't say David Amelik. What do you mean? It says another one, Nasser another Busser, it says Tatatna. And then many Kekutna Fatilim wrote about him. It means as a Melech, what he did was a terrible thing. On the books, as a private individual, was not an Aveira. There was a get given, right? Or it was an onus for Lysa. He wasn't a Zion of an agency, so he's not forbidden. But as a Melech, it didn't look good. Follow me? That's what it's called a double cut, a pain of well called. Double as a private individual, on the books, was not a thing. But as a Melech, it wasn't a problem. But it seems to me a big Kiddush to say that one of the Benchah coming back as a villa? This story is cool. Big Kiddush. Okay. Next thing. Next Mahat. I want to get this. While in jail, and I want to preface this. This is amazing. You know, Yosef HaTzadik, I told you over there pre-Yetzer Sada, didn't I? Last week, the Gemara in Yumad Achlamet Vav, did I tell it over to you? And Yosef HaTzadik, who was the Mechayev of all the Rishoyim, I said that, didn't I? With the promiscuous guy that came to Shemayim. Didn't I say that to you guys? Promiscuous guy and his wife comes to Shemayim, and he says that he's so handsome, that's why he acts like that. Hashem says, why'd you act like that? He says, too handsome. Hashem says, no one was more handsome than Yosef, and he didn't, it wasn't Nefshel. So Frekta creates, I saw that Yosef had an advantage. He saw the image of his father. The other Rishonim don't see anyone's image.
It wasn't his image.
What'd you say?
It wasn't really his image, though.
It was the image, but it came from him. He earned that. He worked that. So I want to share with you another amazing Kiddush that I believe is unbelievable. If you look at the Pesukim, do you know what started the Geula in Mitzrayim? The fact that Yosef HaTzadik turns to the butler and the baker, and he says, "V'hinei panim zo'afim." What are you guys sad about? Imagine if you would not have asked that question. What would have happened if you didn't ask that question? This started the whole deal. They tell the story, right? He predicts he'll get out, the butler, not the baker, but they get out from ice and then the butler forgets about him. But imagine if you would not have asked that question. This is Yosef HaTzadik, guys. Just to ask a guy how you're doing. That's an amazing thing. This was what he was all about. What he was all about was just being a good person. You know what I mean? He was a good person. And simply asking that is really an amazing thing. He named Punham's office. That's an amazing thing when you think about it. It always blows me away every time I say it. He would not have asked that question. You know? That whole story would not have taken place. He named Punham Zoth. You got what I'm saying? That's an amazing thing. You just simply ask, how are you doing, Lamaise? Okay, so I want to point that out to you that was the psyche to the what? To the concept of the what? Of the beginning of the Golos tribe. Just Yosef asking two guys in prison, how are you doing? When he looked depressed, he said, is there anything I can do for you? That's a Ben Pillow. That's a person that what? That really cares about other people. And this is what Yosef HaTzadik represents from Isa. In this question, okay? You need to put him off. Amazing thing that I always thought about from Isa. This concept of, you know, caring about the other person. Okay, I want to know who actually points this out, the Skiddush. I'm looking for it. I'll have to try to find it because I don't want to waste time. But that's the Kiddush that I want to bring up. Perhaps it's later. Not in this week's part. It's in this week's part of the Kiddush. I'll have to try to find it. But I want you to keep that in mind. Certain details Hashem wrote in the Fullness for reasons. You see, what kind of shaykh is? Imagine you have guys in prison. You ask the guy, how you doing? And then the whole psyche begins with that. Okay. While in jail, Yosef's cupbearer, what's a Yosef's cupbearer? The Sarmashim had a dream in which he pressed grapes into Paul's cups. And the baker had a dream in which he was carrying three baskets on his head, and birds were eating food out of them. Yosef told the cupbearer that his dream meant that he would be returned to his original position of serving Paro, while he interpreted the dream of the baker as indicating that he would be killed, both of which came to pass. Perek Mem Pasuk Hey to Pasuk Beis. Where is it alluded to the content of the dreams that the cupbearer would live while the baker would die? Now, just on the heels of what I said, I have to tell you guys, it must have been very, very difficult for Yosef HaTzadik. Very. He was such a good person, based on what we just said, right? To have to tell the baker that he would die. Imagine that. He was a big tzadik, Yosef, kind. But to have to tell the baker that he was going to die? Imagine how hard that was for Yosef. But again, it was the issue of suppressing the gur. He had to say it all. So Rav Yochanan Wasserman, which we're going to quote today in Shir Brunet, I love this heading for it, in the Pnima and the Torah, it's Masber. Now we're quoting in Chumash, and love this guy, we'll mention Shir, it's Masber, in the Torah Ladas, that in the baker's dream, he was standing still, and inanimate with the baskets on his head from which the birds were eating. He was like inanimate, as opposed to the cupper who's actively squeezing grapes into a cup that he then proceeded to place in Paro's hand. The lack of activity on the part of the baker hinted to his status as one marked for death, whereas the cupbearer's productivity indicated he was still full of life. You know, they're moving around. Isn't that interesting? The baker was just an inanimate object with baskets on it and the birds eating out of it. Rav Avigdor Nevinsohn, Shlita, to the great Gaon, suggests that the dream of the cupbearer demonstrated his dedication to serving his master, as even in his dreams he was thinking about squeezing grapes and serving Paro. The baker's dream, on the other hand, revealed his lack of devotion to his job, as the birds were eating Paro's food out of the basket on his head, and he took no action to try to stop them. Rav Meir Shapira Imre Das answers that the birds are actually sacred to approach people. Not sacred. They're scared. Birds are normally scared to approach people. From the fact that the birds in the baker's dream were eating from the baskets on his head and weren't afraid of him, Yosef understood that he was already like a dead man in their eyes. Like vultures. They were like vultures. You follow me? So that's how you can see from the dream the pshat, the mice. You got me? Interesting condition in this. Interesting condition in this. Okay. Let's stop at 9:30 and then we'll, we got a lot to do in Seder, okay? Let's just close with this, okay? It says, Vahi kayom hazeh, vayavo habayisa lasos malakto ve'nish manche habayis sham habayis. It was on that day that Yosef came to the house to do his work, no man in the house was there in the home. After Yosef was sold to slavery and trying, his new master's wife tried in her power, everything in her power to convince him to sin. Despite her greatest efforts, the righteous Yosef refused. One day his defenses began to crack, and he came into the house considering yielding to her. At this crucial moment, Yaakov's visage appeared and warned him about the dire consequences he would face if he sinned. This critical reminder from his father about his family's values saved Yosef the height of his trial. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, you know who that is? Rabbi Yosef's son-in-law. Right, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Chaim Kareyesh, that's our brother-in-law. He has a lot of those friends, Alena with Shabbeach, you know. They put in English, what you say? Yeah. Mr. Silverstein, actually relates a beautiful story about the potency of the impressions we make on our children. In a small town in Europe, one of the Jewish children was kidnapped by the church and sent to study in a monastery. All of his parents' emotional pleas to the government officials fell on deaf ears. The local priest was well-connected and denied the accusations. Finally, after years of petitions, a compromise was proposed. The parents would be allowed to spend 5 minutes with the boy. If at that time he chose to leave with them, their claims would be accepted. If not, it would be incontrovertible proof that their story was fabricated. As excited as they were at the opportunity, they were also full of trepidation. They could only imagine the brainwashing to which their son had been subjected during his years in the monastery. They approached their local Rav, Rav Binyamin Hirsch Orbach, author of Nachal Eshkol Forensic. He promised to accompany them to the meeting, assuring them that he would speak to their son on their behalf and that they had nothing to fear. comforting as he was, they were still full of anxiety, wondering whether the Rav's plan would work. On the fateful day, the three of them were led into a small room. The son was sitting across the table from them, glaring angrily and showing no signs of recognition. Their hearts dropped, and the parents looked with hope to the Rav, who began slowly humming the haunting melody of Kol Nidre. The parents anxiously looked back at their son, whose expression was as angry as ever. The Rav continued, picking up the pace and the volume, but seemingly to no avail as the son remained stone-faced. You know, when you say Kol Nidre, it's said three times, you know, it's supposed to be louder every single time. The parents grew desperate as precious minutes ticked by. As they were about to give up hope, the Rav raised his voice further and reached a feverish crescendo. The boy broke down sobbing and ran into his parents' welcoming arms. Unforgettable memories of his past, eternally etched into his subconscious, brought him home. We all have nostalgic recollections of times that we spent with our families while growing up. Recognizing the power of these events to remain indelibly engraved in our children's memories, it behooves us to put the appropriate effort into making sure that the priorities we impart to our children are the proper ones, or they will remain with them for life. You got me? This past Kol Nidre, when I spoke with Shul, before we started after Kol Nidre, I remembered on Yom Kippur, I was remembering my mom. On Yom Kippur, one Yom Kippur, I was a little boy in Peoria. There was no local mohel. So if the boy was born, they had a mohel, had to come from Chicago and stay over. But it was Yom Kippur. So the mohel came down, it was a big tzaddik, meaning someone stayed by us. Our parents were always very hospitable. And the mule was in the shul on Yom Kippur. And somehow the baby bled a lot. And I remember breaking the fast that it was a little boy. Somehow I remember this. I remember the mole was very worried, was concerned. And, you know, everyone was concerned. My father was concerned, you know. But my mom never went to yeshiva seminary, but she had a lot of emotion to talk about. And she said, you know, it'll be okay. And the baby was fine. Well, for sure. The baby was totally fine. So you have to have a moon and be talking in Hashem. You have simple trust in the moon and faith and trust in Hashem. Not easy. But sometimes that a moon and be talking, simple moon and be talking in Hashem is amazing. That's what you learn sometimes from your parents, from your Rebbeim. And that's exactly what that, as he kept saying, it goes louder and louder, and connected to the point. And then he was able to reveal that these are his parents. Okay, let's stop here. Here the Marma Kodesh, guys. I want to go on to the next question. If you want to chazer, that was fine, but we have to go on. I gave you the first thing to do is that next.